This is WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota, your community station. And the program is Between the Lines. I'm your host, Gary O. And on this program, we explore in-depth news events and topics of interest about Sarasota with news writers and news makers in the Sarasota area. Ideas expressed in this program do not reflect the position of WSLR's station management or board of directors. Between the Lines is being brought to you by the Banyan Theater Company, which will be presenting three plays this summer between late June and late August at the Jane B. Cook Theater in Sarasota. For details about attending the productions entitled Ghosts, The Drawer Boy, and Sideman, get more information at 941-358-5330 or website www.banyantheatercompany.com. Our guests today are Melissa Wandel of Bradenton, who's worked diligently on the Mark Wandel Safety Act for several years, and Ronald Reagan, Speaker of the House of Florida Representatives, who has vigorously worked in behalf of this legislation. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
And Ron, welcome aboard. This is your first time to the station, so you are strangers here, but you are certainly welcome, and we are glad to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to read a little bit of a biography on Representative Reagan. Ronald Reagan is a Bradenton, Florida insurance agent and Republican politician who serves as the representative for District 67 in the House of Representatives in the U.S. state of Florida. He was first elected in 2002 and was reelected to three successive terms. He is the majority whip. Yesterday was a monumental point, wasn't it, Melissa?
Absolutely.
We have followed this story in the newspapers on and off for a number of years, and finally, coming to fruition, the governor's signature on this legislation. I'd like to talk about this legislation in a little bit detail a little later in the program, but for those in the audience who do not know the history, I'd like to read an excerpt from an article which appeared in the Herald Tribune several years ago, which I clipped out because it kind of dovetailed into my concerns about red light runners. And as all of you know, many of you have probably been almost hit or have been hit by a red light runner. This is a real problem, particularly in the Sarasota area. Now, in my career, I've done a lot of driving in the Midwest. Detroit, Minneapolis, Chicago. I have never seen the amount of red light violations up there that I have seen here in Sarasota. It seems as though people just assume that they can run a red light. Let me read from this article that appeared in the Herald Tribune. October 24th, 2003. Life was full of love, hope, and laughter. Just 5 days prior, my husband Mark and I celebrated our one-year wedding anniversary. It was a Friday night. My brother decided to go out for a quick bite to eat with my husband. On their way home, my brother, the driver, and my husband, the passenger, were laughing and talking about plans of buying a boat together. In 1 second, that simple, exciting adventure turned to tragedy. Just 1.25 miles away from our home, my brother stopped at a red light. When the arrows turned green, my brother proceeded into the intersection, and out of nowhere, a vehicle came plowing through the intersection at 48 to 51 miles per hour and struck my brother's vehicle, killing my husband immediately and seriously injuring my brother. As I said, life would never be the same again. The light had been red for half a mile when a woman with a child in the back seat of her vehicle blatantly ran that light. No skid marks were to be found. She did not even apply the brakes. Was this woman drinking, Melissa?
No, absolutely not. No.
She just went through the intersection. Did she have any excuse for this?
No, she didn't have an excuse. I mean, the first excuses were it wasn't red, the light wasn't red, but as we know, the light was red for a half a mile. It was basically just, you know, a lot of drivers just being unaware and practicing bad behavioral, you know, driving skills on our highways anyways.
Driving while drinking is a terrible problem, but driving without paying attention is also a problem. And just being blatant, as the word in this article said, blatant, just plowing through an intersection even after the light has changed. This was really tragic for you. Can you tell us exactly what happened to you?
Well, I was 9 months pregnant at the time, at the day, so having to go out to that crash scene at that time in our lives, there's never a good time, but it happened just to be at the worst moment, being 9 months pregnant, and then going out to that intersection and, you know, seeing those lights and those sirens and seeing the devastation on my brother's face, I think, was the worst, because knowing that my husband was already gone and being able to go and tell him that, you know, I would take care of our baby and make sure that she would be a happy, strong, loving child that would be born into a positive situation and not a tragic situation. So, I mean, that night for me will remain with me always and has helped me champion for stricter laws and better laws for red light running.
I'm sure that this is very difficult for you to talk about, even at this point in time, even after several years have gone by. But it's important, I think, and this is one of the reasons why I contacted you several weeks ago, never knowing that the legislation would finally be passed yesterday, for which we're all grateful. But I contacted you because I had retained this clipping from the newspaper and remembered you as a person who had been representative of a terrible tragedy, and representative of so many other people who have experienced perhaps the same kind of thing, either losing the life of a loved one, or being badly crippled or maimed, all because of the negligence of another person. Now, let me ask you, during this period of time, this was in 2003, during this period of time, you've had to make a tremendous adjustment in what you were planning for the rest of your life. You had a young child, a daughter, correct?
Yes.
And you've had to raise that child. You probably had to go to work to make a living for yourself. Is that correct?
Well, I was very fortunate. My husband was a financial advisor for John Hancock. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he planned for our lives, as Representative Reagan knows well, being in the insurance business. This is what he does. He takes part in saving lives. My husband, we had life insurance. So I was able to start this coalition to work on this law and to start a foundation and to be able to stay at home with my daughter because my husband prepared for our lives.
Now, you do have some family in the area, correct?
Yes. Mark's parents live in the area, and my parents now live in the area as well.
That has provided a much-needed helping hand for you, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when this happened, I just embraced my daughter and knew that I was going to raise her, that I would solely be the person that would raise her and make sure that she would know her dad, but not feel the need to be saddened and feel such loss in her life. So I held on to her. I mean, she has been my saving grace.
Representative Reagan, how did you become a part of this campaign?
Well, one of the things, I got to meet Melissa through this tragic situation, and unfortunately that accident occurred about a mile from my house. And being the representative in the area, I looked into a plea from Melissa initially. And primarily what we're looking at is drivers that are habitual in their offenses when they're on the highway. And in checking the law, one of the things I discovered and came across with this use of red light cameras, and investigating it, looking at it, decided that was the thing to do, is let's authorize an additional tool for law enforcement officials in the state of Florida. And that's how we started the quest. And 5 years ago is when I first filed this legislation to authorize the use of cameras for enforcement purposes.
Now, as far as people are listening to this program are concerned, I know there's been some controversy about this legislation. In my own mind, I've always felt that we needed to go this direction. But there's been, in some cases, vigorous opposition, one of which is violations of privacy. And can you go into that a little bit?
Absolutely, Gary. I'll tell you, first of all, I'll make this one statement, and that is simply this. When you're in a vehicle on a public highway in the state of Florida, there is no expectation of privacy. You are required by state statute to obey the laws. And realistically, I said before, this strictly is an additional tool to help law enforcement. We can't and don't have the resources and manpower to put a police officer at every intersection. And I'll tell you, red light running is epidemic in the state of Florida. And as you mentioned earlier on, I tell you, there's other states that are bad. I don't think anybody is as, any state is as bad as the state of Florida. But this, I hope that we retrain people. We train him to how to drive. By this authorization is going to put a sign up at the intersection telling you it's enforced by a camera. There's no excuse for people to run red lights, none whatsoever. And I do hope this will train people to stop at red lights instead of speeding up when they see an amber light come on. Be prepared to stop, just as you're supposed to do today.
I guess some people are hypersensitive to this in the era of a big brother, so to speak. But I personally think it's an excuse. But they say, well, you're training cameras on what I'm doing, where I'm going, my license plate, my vehicle, me in the car, what I may be doing in the car. You have no right to do that. You have no right to watch my activities. And they say the same thing. The cities have put in cameras on streets to protect citizens who are going shopping or walking up and down the streets. And some people say, well, you're violating my privacy. You're watching what I'm doing. That's really a sham, isn't it?
Absolutely. No question about it. And again, if you're in public, especially in a vehicle on a public highway, there's no expectation of privacy. And by the way, that's like saying you don't want to embrace new technology. I mean, where would we be if we didn't embrace computers and things of this nature, flat-screen TVs? I mean, things have changed dramatically in my lifetime with technology. So, and this is just an additional tool, again, for law enforcement to go forward. But if you think about this, cameras are in use all over, from security purposes. Every ATM machine you use has a camera.
Oh, yes. Right.
Cameras are part of our life today. And I will say this statement simply this, if you're worried about somebody seeing what you're doing, then don't do something that you're going to be concerned about.
Right.
So reality is they're part of our lives. Why not make them an additional tool for the public safety of the citizens in the state of Florida? And that's what this is all about.
Another criticism is that these cameras are a revenue-generating mechanism for municipalities. How do you feel about that?
I've never ignored the fact that the revenue is part of this equation because we have fines. I mean, right now, if you run a red light and you're cited by a police officer, you're going to pay a $223 fine. You're going to get 3 points on your driving record. Under this law, we've set the fine at $158. No points on your driving record. It's simply a civil fine. I won't ignore the fact that revenue is part of this. From the very day that I filed this legislation, it's always been about public safety for me. I hope no city, county, or even the state ever makes a penny off this. I hope people stop running red lights.
Very good. Representative Reagan, what areas do you cover in your representation?
District 67, Gary, is actually the largest, most populated district in the state of Florida. And of course, that it'll be redistricted next year once the census is completed and the legislature goes through their redistricting process. But right now, my district primarily is everything in Sarasota County, east of I-75, mm-hmm. down to Clark Road. In Manatee County, it's roughly approximately east of 301. In Manatee County. North of the Manatee River, it's Ellenton and Parrish. But it also includes up in Hillsborough County, Apollo Beach, Ruskin, Sun City Center, and Riverview. And as I said, those have all been the explosion places over the last few years for population. And it is the most populated district in the state of Florida and the most registered voters in the state of Florida.
Melissa, in the tragic aftermath of this accident, did you approach the representative here and ask for help?
Yes. Yeah, I sent him a little email, and he responded to me immediately. I mean, I thought that I would just send an email, and it would, it'd get back to me whenever. But he responded to me that day. And basically, I still have it. It just was one nice little note about, the fact that he lived, only a mile from that crash scene. And his heart went out to us. So, and he immediately took this on. I say now that he took it on like it was one of his own family members, and he did just that. And from that moment that I met him, I knew that this great man was going to make a difference.
Is that what gave you the resolve to go ahead with, undoubtedly, after all of the initial trauma was over, something got into your head that this should never happen to other people and you were going to do something about it?
Absolutely. It happened right away. I mean, I didn't sit and wallow in it. I'm still not angry about it. It happened, and I don't like every day. I mean, I have to manage it in my life every day. My heart will always be broken. But I also knew at that moment that my husband should not have died at that intersection that night, that it was definitely... It was a negligent act, and it didn't have to happen. So for him, to make sure that his name went on in a great way, to make sure that he didn't die for anything at that intersection that night, and to make sure that my daughter knew that when something happened in her life that she could get up and go on and do something positive with it. It was an overnight thing for me. It wasn't something that I had to really think about. I knew that something had to be done. I just needed to find a way to ask for some help to get there.
We've had many heroic people in our country step forward. Candy Leitner is one that comes to mind with the Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Mm-hmm. There have been many other people who have stepped forward and challenged the status quo and done great things. And I think many of us sit back and say, could I do that? Would I have the courage? Would I pour myself into a thing like this and dedicate the time and effort to go ahead and do this? And not everybody can do it. I'm sure that some people say, I really want to do it, but I don't have the... Or they make up excuses. Of course, they say, well, I really don't have the time to do this, even though it's a worthwhile cause. Somehow, some way, you in your own mind determined that you were going to go ahead with this.
Absolutely, and I think you have to do it for other people, too. I think you do it for yourself initially and your family. But then, you know, over the last 5 years, I've reached out to a lot of families, and they're just not able. You know, they're so broken, you know, because of the devastation. So I'm the voice for them, you know, and I feel honored to be able to take what they're feeling and be able to try to make a difference. There was at the signing yesterday, there was two family members of these two beautiful people that lost their sons, and I hadn't seen them in 4 years, but they still have been following it for 4 years, and I've kept those people in my head, you know, and in my mind while I was doing this as well, because it's for everybody. It's for the state of Florida. You know, as Ron said all the time, this is not just about, you know, a particular group of people. This is for the state of Florida. And I just happen to be able to have a voice for the citizens in the state of Florida and for the people that have gone through this. And it's also, you hope that it does help other people to say, if she can do it, then I can do it too. That's what you want.
Very Gary, good. And Gary, I might add, you know, when I start on this quest along with Melissa, I've been touched by the number of people that have reached out to me as the legislator and the leading person on this legislation, and telling me the tragic situations that their family has gone through. And they've gotten a lot of strength from watching and listening to Melissa and move forward. So, I mean, this you know, this tragic situation has actually turned out to be a wonderful thing, and Melissa's been a great hero by putting this forward and help. And by the way, working with me hand in hand to get this legislation passed.
There's been another criticism, and that is forcing people to stop for a red light causes tailgate accidents. Do you have anything you can say on that, Ron?
Absolutely. First of all, there's a flawed study that's been going around, and for some reason it just ends up perpetuating itself. All over the country, they refer to the study, actually from the University of South Florida, and the person that put that together actually was admonished because of the fact that they just gathered data on the online, hearsay, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, that being said, we did an experiment 2 years ago here in Sarasota County. We did two intersections, put up red light, put up cameras. No citations were issued, but people were actually were sent a copy of them violating the law. And I will tell you this: prior to those cameras going up, there was approximately 3 accidents in a month at one of these intersections. The entire test time those cameras were there, there was not one single rear-end accident. Period. Zero. Nada. Nothing. So, for people to say that rear-end accidents increase, I say that there's no true evidence that happens. But even if it were the case, a rear-end accident generally occurs at lower speeds, number one. Number two, it has less injuries to people involved in the accident and has less damage to the vehicles than somebody running a red light and T-boning a vehicle running at a high speed.
That's a really a good point. And one aspect of this is people are so used to red light runners in Sarasota and in this area that they are afraid to put on the brakes for a red light for fear somebody's going to run into them. And I've had this happen. I'm sure everybody in the audience has had this happen. You are coming to an intersection, you see the light changing, and everybody's moving at a pretty good speed, maybe 30, 35 miles an hour. And in your rearview mirror, you see this pickup truck or other vehicle, which is very close on your bumper, and you know that if you put on the brakes, there's a good chance that person is going to plow into you. The other thing is, and I have tried to watch this at intersections. I put on the brakes, I come to a stop, and I get this great big long honk from the guy behind me, and I get a hand signal, which indicates he's displeased with me. And, of course, you're on the verge of road rage at that point because you're saying, what right does he have to challenge me? I'm following the law, and he's sitting back there saying, I got to get to my next appointment, and this jerk has stopped at this intersection and prevented me from going through. So that is something that I think the legislation will change, or hopefully so.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, I use this from Melissa said this very many, many times, and that is we need to change people's behaviors and their thought patterns and actually get them to obey the law. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, we become such a fast-paced society. People are impatient. Everybody's racing to go to their next stop or statement or wherever they're headed, and they don't take the time to slow down. And hopefully this will help. And, you know, and people have expressed the same situation, Gary, that you just expressed about, you know, concern for, you know, stopping at a red light and getting hit from behind or people flying by them. But reality is we all need to just obey the law. And I'll take this one step further. People come and suggest, well, we need to put a timer, a countdown clock on these intersections so people will know when the light's turning red. I said, well, you already got it. It's called an amber light.
I mean, yes, right.
That is
right.
Your warning telling you the light is about to turn red. And to get your, and you're supposed to be under control of your vehicle. So now it's time to stop.
What specifically is in this bill? Can you just kind of itemize the... because I haven't seen the legislation myself.
Well, and I'll just give you a brief summation. I mean, realistically, what it does, it authorizes, doesn't require any county or city or community to install cameras at intersections. So what the main thing that by passing this legislation is done, because there are cities and counties already in the state of Florida that have implemented red light cameras at intersections, this offers a uniform standard, number one. Uniformity throughout the state of Florida from Pensacola to Miami, if the intersection is going to have a red light camera device, it's going to be managed the same. The fine is going to be uniform. The enforcement is going to be uniform. Period. And that's the real key here, because we found over the last year, cities and counties installing these cameras, their enforcement methods were varied by the county and by the city. You know, whatever they felt good. A perfect example is in Orlando. City of Orlando installed cameras, and they basically didn't give anybody a ticket if they turned right on red. So other ones, and unfortunately this is some of the criticisms that's out there, and some of it's true. Some small cities in the state of Florida installed them, and if somebody ran just past the stop bar, they issued a citation. So we're going to have uniform standards throughout the state. That's the key factor with this legislation. Also, the Department of Transportation is going to be writing standards that will be implemented by the end of this year, so that every city and county will basically have a manual of what they're going to be allowed to do. The other key factor that I put in this legislation was in signage. Every intersection that's going to utilize a camera is going to have a sign. So, to me, there's a sign as you approach the intersection that says photo enforced. You already know that the law says you're supposed to stop on red. You have an amber light that's a minimum 3 seconds by DOT standards, and sometimes even longer depending on the intersection. And, you know, if you run the red light after that, I don't know what else to tell you other than you deserve the fine at that point.
Right. We are talking with Melissa Wandel, who has worked on the Mark Wandel Safety Act for several years and was just signed into law yesterday by Governor Crist, and Ron Reagan, Speaker of the House of Florida Representatives. This is WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota. It's 9:30 in the morning, and you're listening to Between the Lines. So, Melissa, you said something to me during the musical break there, and I'd like you to bring that out for our audience.
Sure, thank you. We were talking about the rear-end crashes, and I sat here and just have to say, as Ron said, the statistics just aren't there to prove it, and we're not going to ever say that never has happened, but people need to be held accountable. I mean, if they think that a camera system made them cause the crash, if they said, well, the camera made me do it, that's just silly. It's not holding themselves accountable. I mean, if you hit somebody, then you're driving too closely, you're driving too fast, and you're following too closely. You always know that there's going to be a green light, an amber light, and a red light. You always know you're going to stop. So I just think that people need to really stop and think about what they're saying when they say the camera made me do it, because a piece of technology cannot make you do it.
Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
If any of you out there would like to call in and ask Melissa or Ron a question, you can do so. The telephone number is 355-4540. That's 355-4540. We will put you on the air to discuss the matter of red light cameras. Representative Reagan, I'd like to ask you, how arduous a process was this in getting this legislation approved? This goes back 5 years ago when this accident occurred. Obviously, there was the contact between you and Melissa talking about this situation. Give us a chronological feel for what took place to take this legislation from its infancy to the signing by the governor.
And Gary, thank you very much. I think that's fantastic that we're going to talk about that. First of all, legislation can be very arduous and difficult to get through a legislative process, because primarily what you have to do is educate people. And it's taken me 5 years to educate my fellow legislators, both in the House as well as in the Senate, of what this legislation really means. And virtually every question that which we're talking about today came up, and there's an expectation of privacy, a right to privacy. What's the proper fine? How do you do this? How do you go about? And I will tell you, once I decided to push forward with this legislation, I crafted it very similar to what we use in toll booths and expressway authorities today. And that is, if you run a toll booth and you fail to pay your fine, you're subject under the laws in the state of Florida to up to $100 fine for that situation. And if they don't take a picture of the driver or anybody that's in the automobile, they take a video picture of the car as it violates the toll booth, they take a picture of the tag of the car, and they send the registered owner the fine of $100. And that's where we started. I started with this legislation just identical to that expressway authority. But I tell you what, it was tough. It's been tough for 5 years when I had leadership of the House of Representatives say, you know, we're not interested in pushing this forward, we're not interested in championing it. But yet I was persistent. And as time went by, I was able to educate my fellow legislators about what this really means. This is truly a public safety issue. This is an additional tool for our law enforcement to use, and hopefully will change people's driving habits and behaviors. And once we got that through, ultimately the vote in the House ended up being 77-33, and in the Senate, 30-7. So we had a vast majority, three-quarters of both the House and the Senate, that felt the same way once they were finally educated over a five-year period of time. It just took time to get people to understand what we were doing here.
Melissa, this has been a long road for you. How have you been able to blend your own efforts to get this law passed while working and raising a child?
Well, I think it's just, you know, about persevering through it all and trying to find a way to make it work. And again, if you get right back down to it and you want something so badly, you want to do something when you know you can make a difference for your family and for the community, then you just work hard. You make it work. There's no excuses. There's no excuse to say, I don't have time for this, or my life is too full, it's too busy. You make the time, and it happens. And once I really reached out and, you know, spoke with Representative Reagan and then knew that this was the path that I was going to take, I just made everything else work around it.
Yeah, but Gary, let me mention this. You know, she was very passionate about this, and it kind of rubbed off on me and made me equally as passionate. So, and I know that Melissa has traveled to other cities throughout the country and also spoken on this issue and try to make people aware. And one of the things that struck me when I first got involved with this was the technology. Why would we not want to use technology to further advance ourselves? We do it in virtually every other field. Why not do it for public safety?
I wanted to ask you, Melissa, now you're a working woman, right?
Absolutely.
And have you been working during this whole period of time, pretty much?
Yes, I have.
Of course, you've had family assistance to help raise your daughter, so that's relieved some of the burden, I guess.
Well, I've blended my daughter into it. I mean, she is, I travel around the country speaking, and she is my closer. She comes up afterwards. She's been doing it since she was 3.5. So I wasn't going to leave her. I blended, again, it's just another thing, I blended her into the whole process.
I see.
If I couldn't do it all and have her with me, I mean, she was, these last 5 years, there's only two times that she was not in Tallahassee. So she was up there with me through this whole entire process.
Some cities have already installed red light cameras under questionable legal authority to do so. And we talked about that briefly a few moments ago, Ron. Why did they go ahead with no authorization? Did they run the risk of lawsuits in doing that?
Absolutely. No question about it. They ran that risk, and they knew that risk going in. But Reality is they looked at it from a public safety standpoint. There's no question about it. I've talked to many counties, commissioners, city commissioners, mayors of towns, police chiefs, sheriffs, and they're all encouraging, and I encourage them as well. Install them. You know, take a chance with the courts, because if you're going to ultimately do this from a public safety standpoint, you're there to save lives, period. And they, every person that I ever spoke to felt that exact same way. They were not doing any, looking at these, any other issue other than from a public safety standpoint. So, yeah, they ran a risk, but I'm happy that they did.
How many cities in Florida have done this?
You know, I think it's between 50 and 60, yeah. Between cities and counties, between 50 and 60 now. When we first filed this legislation, there was one camera operating in the state of Florida up in Gulf Breeze, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff there primarily got his local community to support him by installing that because of the deaths of several high school students at one particular intersection. And but now I believe there's 173 intersections in the state of Florida that have cameras operating today.
Were there any quantifiable results from the cameras that had been installed?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, last week I spoke with the city council, the city of Bradenton, and the mayor unequivocally said that they have cut down, number one, almost in half the number of red light runners that they have.
Really?
Yes. And more importantly, they've cut their accidents in less than half as well. So, I mean, they have unequivocal evidence of the fact that these cameras do work. And we see it. I've studied it throughout the country. And I know the naysayers and the people that don't like them for whatever reason, but reality is they work.
What are the penalties for running a red light under this legislation, and how are they going to be enforced?
Well, number one, it's a $158 fine. The owner of the vehicle is primarily responsible. So what will happen is within a 30-day period of time, the owner of the vehicle will get a citation in the mail, and pretty much that's it. That's the real penalty right there. It's a civil fine. It's not a criminal. So there's no points on anybody's driving record.
And if they don't pay that fine, what happens?
Well, we do follow the legislation just as if you fail to pay a parking ticket. If you have three outstanding parking tickets in the state of Florida, then it basically goes against your registration. Your registration is held for renewal until you pay it. And the same situation will apply here.
And if you are not running a red light, your front tires have to be over that white line on red. You have to be entering the intersection in order to get a ticket. If your front tires go through on yellow and the back tires go through on red, you're not running a red light.
Okay.
It's dangerous, but you're not running a red light. You're not going to get a ticket. Your car has to blatantly be, your tires have to be over that white line on red in order for it to get a ticket. So there's no excuses, there's no faults. And you could see yourself, I mean, you'll be sent, you know, either the video stream or the picture to show that you are blatantly, that your car was on that in that intersection on red, where you could seriously kill, or you could seriously maim, kill, or injure someone.
And I will tell you this, Melissa mentioned the video streaming. One of the parts of this legislation also, when you receive the citation, there will be a secure website that you can go to and actually view yourself running the red light.
Oh, really?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Do you feel the amount of the fine is appropriate?
Actually, I thought it should have been higher. And I was amazed at the number of legislators that finally, when they signed on and agreed, we're shocked that we weren't putting points on someone's driving record.
Yes, right.
And as well as not keeping the fine the same. As a matter of fact, one senator asked the question, so if I run a red light with a camera, I have no points, and I'm going to pay a $158 fine, but if my next-door neighbor runs and a police officer sees them, then they're going to pay $223 and get 3 points. Yes, that is correct. And they just felt it was blatantly unfair, and they thought that the fine should be the same. I don't. I think that, again, we're issuing the citation to the owner of the vehicle. We're not, you know, we went through the privacy issue 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and decided not to take pictures of the occupants of the vehicle, and yet just make sure that you, as the owner of the vehicle, are responsible for the actions of your vehicle, just like the law says you are today in the event of an accident. Mm-hmm. So, and same thing as if you run a toll booth, or same thing with a parking meter. You know, so there's no change in the law. If you own a vehicle, you're responsible for its actions mm-hmm. in the state of Florida.
I'm sure there were certain compromises involved here.
Yes.
Anyway, in getting this legislation to the point where the governor would sign it and the bodies would approve it. How is the revenue divided?
Revenue, and I tell you, when we talk about revenue, and some cities and counties that have had the cameras installed now, they keep 100% of their revenue. So they pay for their operations out of it, but they get to keep the money. And as this legislation moved through this year, and it looked like it had a great chance of passing, I was amazed. I had a couple of mayors call me and say, I'm going to lose money when your law goes into effect.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, sir, you're going to lose money. However, again, uniformity comes to play. But of the $158, roughly it's a split between the counties and cities in the state of Florida, with $10 going to the trauma centers off every ticket, and also $3 going to the brain and spinal cord injury trust fund for research. Okay.
Why did AAA take a negative stand on this bill?
You know, I have tried to figure out why that for the last couple of years. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you that I feel very strongly about this, and I worked with them the last couple of years, and they had some great suggestions. And this year, I incorporated about 75% of their suggestions into the bill, and then they turn around afterwards and you know, completely go against it. So, I came out and said some harsh things about them, and I'm not going to say that here today. But I think that you remember AAA is an insurance company.
Yeah.
We all look at them because they tow your car and they're there when you call them for changing a flat tire, etc. But reality is, they're an insurance company, and one of the things they objected to was not putting points on people's driving record if they violated the law.
Uh-huh.
So the only thing I can think of, and plus there's legislation or there's wording in this legislation that will not allow an insurance company to use your violations against you. So that's, you know, I got thinking about it afterwards. That might have been some of their underlying concerns, but it kind of shocked me, and it shocked a lot of other people when AAA has taken that stance. And by the way, here's the thing. 37 other states, AAA endorsed red light cameras.
Okay.
And state of Florida's, AAA does not. It's kind of bizarre.
Yes. Now, the National Safety Council, at least according to an article I read in USA Today, is in favor of the bill. And they feel it's a real safety benefit. The Federal Highway Administration also took a positive stand on the law, and they said that they feel technology like this can make highways safer. So this is kind of curious that AAA took a different position.
It is. And I'll say one other thing. There are some states that also issue and use these cameras to issue speeding tickets. There was a suggestion by a city councilman in the city of Chicago that wanted to take pictures of every driver going through an intersection and check to see if they had insurance, and if not, then issue them a $500 fine for not driving with insurance. So, you know, you've got to have some safeguards here so the slippery slope does not occur. And we did that. As a matter of fact, we preempted in this legislation all future uses of the cameras to the legislature so that cities and counties can't go and do this on their own.
We're talking with Melissa Wandel of Bradenton, and we're talking with Representative Ronald Reagan, who covers the Bradenton-Sarasota area. Ron, what do these cameras cost, by the way?
I got to be honest with you, I really don't know. I know that the city of Orlando spent a little over $1 million getting theirs put together. And what has happened in the past, there's multiple camera companies that are out there, some large, some small. A lot of what they've done with some of the smaller cities and counties is if they couldn't afford to buy them themselves, they were able to lease them and work a deal out based on the number of citations issued, whatever. The city of Orlando did something different. They actually purchased their cameras and pay a flat fee per month for the monitoring of the cameras. So whether one ticket is issued or 1,000 is issued, the fine, the cost of the companies are the same. So, you know, technology is like anything else. You know, televisions cost a lot, 20 years ago, and you can get a bigger, better TV today for substantially less money. So I'm assuming that's probably the same in this technology. So, but reality is, I don't know what they cost.
You use the word monitoring. What is involved in the monitoring process?
One of the nice things that, and I have visited several companies. There was one in North Manatee County that Peak Traffic that also issued tickets, built and red light cameras, also monitored. What happens is because of the streaming, because of the internet, because of computerization today, most of these violations are sent to a central location, and you have people that are trained as experts, basically law enforcement experts, to determine, you know, did somebody violate the law, you know, and it goes from there. But they're kind of like a bullpen operations. Instead of every city and county having to do their own, they're basically monitored in one central location. Then they are sent to that city or county for a review by a law enforcement official, and what I used when I talk to law enforcement officials and city and county commissioners, I tell them, look, have your law enforcement official feel, and when they look at this streaming, if you were there and had the ability to issue a violation, would you? And use that as your standard, and most of them do that.
Are cameras to monitor speeding a part of this legislation, or is that just over the horizon?
No, no. As a matter of fact, very specifically, I excluded that in this legislation. There's one city in the state of Florida that actually started installing a speed cameras. And met with a lot of resistance. And met with a lot of resistance from me. But here's the thing: the legislation contains a provision it says that any future use of cameras in anything other than the legislation we have written, which is for the use of red light violators, must go through the legislature. So the House and the Senate and the governor then ultimately must sign off. So I'm not saying that it's not going to happen in the future, but I believe that that's quite a mountain to climb.
Well, I was going to ask if this is a forerunner to the anti-texting legislation, which has kind of died, I think, and is not moving forward.
I will give you my personal opinion on texting. It is the most insidious thing happening on the highways today. As a matter of fact, I talk to law enforcement officials all the time, and they say it is more erratic behavior driving with people that are texting than actually people that are drunk driving. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, we've had tragic situations right here in Sarasota County. Yeah. Where, you know, a young girl was texting, hits a man who was on a motorcycle, stopped at a red light. And we're talking multiple families now are ruined.
Melissa, how do you feel about the anti-texting legislation?
Well, and also learning a lot about legislation, I know that it takes a really good bill. So the texting bill, it's very new, and I'm sure that they'll work on it and come back again next year. You know, working through this process and knowing now that we have a fabulous bill with a red light, I definitely think that texting, I think anytime you're multitasking in your loaded weapon, you risk, you know, killing somebody or seriously injuring somebody. So if we can get a really good law together, a good texting law together, I think it would be vital to our community and our motoring public.
Gary, I got to tell you, somebody brought something to me just within the last 30 days. There's a device that parents can now buy and have programmed into their child's automobile that will prevent them from getting phone calls except for 911, predetermined phone calls such as the parents. It also prevents them from texting as well as making phone calls while they're in that car.
I'm sure a lot of parents would like to know where to obtain that. So perhaps in some of the publicity you give to the newspapers in the future, Ron, you can let that get out, because there are irresponsible parents out there that just don't pay attention, and then there are many out there who are very concerned about this and don't want their vehicle or their kids' vehicles involved in accidents. They don't want their kids doing dangerous things like texting when they're on the road, or even cell phones. And I was going to ask you about the cell phone situation. With this as a foundation, might we be on the verge of having the legislation to ban cell phones while in the cars, which is also very dangerous?
Right. I think California has that now. You have to have a device, either a Bluetooth device, mm-hmm. so that you basically talk in hands-free. And now, I'm very fortunate because I have that in my car, so that if I get a phone call while I'm in my car, the radio goes off and the phone call comes actually through the speakers on my car. And I like that, and I hope that that continues to advance technology. So you're not sitting there punching buttons and holding a phone up to your
right.
ear.
The problem seems to be, and I guess the city of Chicago banned cell phones while you're driving, and my son and daughter-in-law live up there, and I said, well, how's this working? And it says, it's not working because people are disregarding it. There's no true enforcement
right.
mechanism, and until you have the teeth in place, there's no use putting something into effect, because people are just going to disregard it.
Well, and that's very similar to what we passed last year, the mandatory seatbelt law, or primary enforcement, I should say. And that's the same thing with the situation, Gary, that you just mentioned. If a law enforcement official is going to have to see you with that phone up to your ear, but then how does he know you're actually talking on it? I mean, the enforcement of that is really going to be very, very difficult.
Well, we're coming down to the end of the hour here. It's 9:57 in the morning. We'd like to wrap this up with a couple of questions. I'd like to direct one to Melissa. This battle has been won. This has been a long, hard battle. What else are you going to be doing in regard to this as far as carrying on this campaign in the future?
Well, I think it's really important, number one, with my husband's name on it, I take it very seriously. So just being able to help with the process of making sure that people are educated, continue to be educated on the cameras. I would love to see in the future a little bit more fines going to the trauma centers and this, and the brain and spine injury. That would be fabulous. But, you know, I also have a great foundation that I would love to build. You know, it's the Mark Wanda Foundation, and we give back to kids that have had loss in their lives in the community and in the nation, and be able to continue through with our Safety Saves Lives campaign to just reach out to our community.
Thank you very much, Melissa. We've been talking with Melissa Wandel, who has had a success here. She's got the Mark Wandel Safety Act to the governor. The governor has signed it. It goes into effect July 1st. And we have the Speaker of the Florida House of Representatives, Ron Reagan. Ron, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been so helpful bringing out some of the fine points of what's taking place here.
Thanks for having me, Gary. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Between the Lines on WSLR, and we have to say that ideas expressed in this program do not reflect the position of WSLR's station management or board of directors. This program has been underwritten by the Banyan Theater Company, presenting three plays, Ghosts, The Drawer Boy, and Sideman, this summer at the Jane B. Cook Theater at the FSU Center for Performing Arts in Sarasota. More information regarding the plays is available at 941-358-5330 or the website www.banyantheatercompany.com.